Penguin Random House Audio presents The Captain Class, The Driving Force Behind the World's Greatest Teams, by Sam Walker. Read for you by Keith Sarabica. My ego demands, for myself, the success of my team. Bill Russell. Prologue. The first time I stepped through the looking glass into the private sanctum of a professional locker room, I had just turned 25. I had a notebook jammed into the back pocket of my college khakis and a press credential looped around my neck. If I didn't look like I knew what I was getting into, that's because I didn't. This locker room belonged, as fate would have it, to Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. Since that March evening in 1995, I have seen Tom Brady's Patriots win their first Super Bowl and mingled with an FC Barcelona team steaming toward a European soccer title. I've watched cyclists storm up Mont Ventoux at the Tour de France and been doused with $49 champagne by the New York Yankees as they celebrated a third straight World Series victory. For a reporter, all of this was exactly as charmed as it sounds. Every championship brought with it the guarantee of good play and a generous word count in the newspaper. Not to mention the chance to tell everybody who listened that, yes, I was there. Behind the glamour, however, there was one persistent problem with my career choice. Every time I watched some group of euphoric athletes collecting its trophy, I had an intense personal reaction that surprised me. I felt jealous. Every summer throughout grade school, I played second base for a neighborhood baseball team called the Burns Park Bombers. For the most part, there is nothing remarkable about this team. Our pitching was decent, our hitting was serviceable, and our coach was a taciturn guy with oversized glasses who conducted practices with a cigarette bobbing between his lips. We usually won about 50% of our games and played just well enough to earn the coveted post-game trip to Dairy Queen. In the summer of 1981, however, something changed. The nose pickers who used to let balls roll between their legs started making competent plays. When hits were needed, hits materialized, and our pitchers threw just enough strikes to hold the lead. All of us seemed to have escaped the confines of our 11-year-old bodies. We floated above the diamond in awe as these children who looked suspiciously like us transmogrified into a formidable team. We finished the season 12-0. What I realized about this glorious experience years later is that it had forever modified my expectations. The Bombers gave me a taste of what it was like to play on an excellent team, and this had rewired my brain to believe it was my God-given right to experience the same sensation many times over. As the years passed, however, it became painfully clear it was not. The 1981 Bombers were the only championship team I ever played for. As I started writing about a multitude of sports and parachuting in to cover some of the world's best teams, the memories of that summer kept bubbling up. Feelings of disappointment and longing took possession of a modest apartment somewhere at the back of my brain. If it's true that our lifelong obsessions stem from seemingly mundane events in our childhoods, then I suppose this is mine. I ache to be part of a great team. Behind the scenes with these elite groups of athletes, I always paid rapt attention. I studied how they spoke to one another, noted their mannerisms and body language, and observed their pregame rituals. When they offered theories about what made their collaborations successful, I jotted them down in my notebook. No matter the sport, I always heard the same handful of explanations. We practice hard. We play for each other. We never quit. We have a great coach. We always come through in the clutch. More than anything, I was struck by the business-like sameness of these groups, and by how nonchalantly their members spoke about winning. It was as if they were part of a machine in which every cog and sprocket was functioning precisely as intended. "You do your job so everyone around you can do their job," Tom Brady once said. "There's no big secret to it." In 2004, I took a leave from my job to write a book about competing in America's toughest fantasy baseball expert competition. My strategy was to spend many days and nights with real major league teams collecting inside information. The club I followed most closely was the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox franchise had a long and glorious history of failure and heartbreak dating back to 1980.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?